Hit it.
Welcome to the Test Talks Podcast, the place to go to geek out on software testing. And now your host, whose mission is to help you succeed with test automation, Joe Colantonio.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Test Talks, a podcast dedicated to all things test automation related. I'm your host, Joe, from joecolantonio.com. In today's episode, you will discover how to create awesome performance tests that are realistic and enable your company to release applications in the wild that perform as expected. Today, we will be speaking with Scott Moore, a performance testing consultant and former CEO of Northway Solutions. But first, let's hear it for our awesome sponsor, Sauce Labs. Today's episode is sponsored by Sauce Labs. Sauce Labs makes test automation awesome. Sauce's cloud-based Selenium Grid helps developers test web and mobile apps across more than 400 browser and OS platforms. Sauce also supports Appium and popular JavaScript unit testing frameworks and integrates with all the top programming languages, test frameworks, and CI systems. With built-in video recording, debugging tools, and secure tunneling for firewall testing, Sauce helps you ship better software faster. Sign up at saucelabs.com with promo code TESTTALKS14 and get 20 hours of automated testing for free. Hey, Scott, welcome to Test Talks.
Thanks, Joe, for having me on Test Talks. It's really an honor and a privilege to be here with you.
So, Scott, before we get started, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Well, I started my testing career in 1998, and I was working for Deloitte & Touche out of Nashville, Tennessee. One of their IT centers is located there that supports the practitioners' internal applications that they use. I was working on a time and expense system that was built in-house at the time, and they had a need for performance testing, but nobody there was a designated performance engineer, per se. They did have QA professionals there, but nobody specifically had any experience with performance testing. So obviously, they looked at me and said, you're the newest member of our team. We've bought this software package. It's sitting in the corner. It's called LoadRunner, and you're going to be that guy. And I had no clue what I was doing, but eventually I did get training on it. And obviously, I took a liking to it because I based my career around it. Later on, I jumped out into consulting, starting Load Tester Incorporated. We were a Mercury partner, and we had a very high bar for how we implemented a performance testing methodology and built a good reputation. In 2010, I merged Load Tester with a business partner out of Dallas, Texas, and we started Northway Solutions Group, which is still continuing on to this day. So that's kind of how I got started. Other than that, I really enjoy living in Nashville, Tennessee, creating music, producing music in a recording studio that I have in Nashville.
Very cool. So, Scott, I'll admit I was kind of sad when I heard that you're no longer at Northway. The reason being is I get a lot of questions and requests for LoadRunner training, and I always pointed those folks to Northway for your training services. So now that you're no longer with Northway, are you still going to offer LoadRunner training services at Scott Moore Consulting?
Well, first of all, wow, Joe. I mean, that's a real compliment coming from you to point people towards Northway for our training services and that you trust us to do that for people who are requesting that. Even though I'm no longer the CEO of Northway, Northway is still really my family. It was more like a family than it was a business, if you can understand that. And I still plan to work with them, partner with them, and do additional training with them as well. So that's not going to change. But Northway definitely has, I feel like, some of the best HP software training in the testing realm: Quality Center, Performance Center, LoadRunner, and UFT, Unified Functional Testing as well. So continue to point people there, as will I.
Awesome. So I guess my next question is, now that you're no longer working for a company that is a solution provider for HP, are there any non-HP performance testing solutions that you're going to be recommending to your client?
It's a great question. And, you know, even though I am not, quote unquote, tied to HP as a partner per se anymore, LoadRunner is still one of my first loves out there. And I still love LoadRunner even more so today. One of the things I want to do is emphasize being a client advocate now. So instead of just being someone who could only talk about an HP solution, it's kind of freeing for me to be able to talk about some of the other things. My methodology for performance testing is tool agnostic and would work with many of the solutions out there, open source or otherwise. And I think there are many good products out there today, and not only in the performance testing side, but the performance monitoring as well. So I'm looking forward to actually getting out there and maybe doing some combination of products.
Cool. So Scott, I think performance testing is sometimes a misunderstood concept. So in a nutshell, what is performance testing?
Every time I go to a new client, we always have that first initial meeting, and we usually play a semantic game where somebody's talking about performance testing, somebody's talking about load testing, somebody's talking about stress testing. I like to get that out of the way as soon as possible. Performance testing, in my view, has multiple kinds of tests within its definition. Two of the most common terms I always hear are load testing versus stress testing. And many times they're thrown around interchangeably. What I like to do is focus on either the end user experience, the hardware performance, or the software and how it scales. If you can break it apart to those three and find out which one is most important to the client, then you know how to position your test. The biggest thing I like to do is talk about a load test being the real world perfect storm situation, but something that could really happen out in the wild once a product is released, versus a stress test, which is really about finding the first point of failure. Many times you don't have the luxury of adding multiple configurations, multiple servers, trying different load balancers, unless you're in some kind of a lab situation. I find that 90% of the time my customers are looking for creating a load matrix that looks like what would be a really, really bad day or bad hour, what have you, whatever interval that is, and determining, you know, what is the end user going to experience, and is something going to fall over on the hardware, or are the software not going to work under that load? So once we can get those definitions out of the way, then we can kind of go from there. And there's obviously there's other tests like what you might call a soak test, where you would run at a certain level for a long period of time to discover memory leaks and those kind of, all of that's kind of wrapped up in performance testing.
I definitely agree. Getting the terms down with the teams to make sure everyone's talking about the same thing when they say performance testing. And like you said, some of the biggest obstacles seem to be people getting confused with load testing and stress testing and mixing the two. And that really does dictate that understanding really does dictate how you're going to perform your performance test. So I think that's great advice. So Scott, if you were starting a project with a new small team, would you still recommend LoadRunner, especially when they have now that new free 50 concurrent user license?
I mentioned that I love LoadRunner more than ever now. And the reason is because for the first time, we have a version that allows for 50 virtual users of most protocols, which enables it to get into the hands of the small and medium-sized customers. And that's where I really want to position myself, because I want these companies to know that they have at their disposal now an enterprise-level tool that they can use. I think the analysis engine and the reporting of LoadRunner is beyond compare. It's the best out there, and you can get a lot of good information and decision-making information from the analysis in LoadRunner if you've planned your performance test right and you're running your scenarios properly, if you've gauged your performance matrix correctly. So what is going to hurt a company to get this free version and begin using this tool, even if 50 virtual users isn't, you know, up there to what they need, maybe they need 1,000, you also have the ability to rent or lease virtual users for as little as a day or 30 days or 90 days. And there's a lot lower cost entrance to LoadRunner than there ever has been. And I think the more we put it into the hands of more customers, the more of a community that is out there for support. And hey, what have you found using LoadRunner with this protocol? What have you done? And that community is a really, really important thing. So I'm all about that. And I just can't wait to bring LoadRunner into a company who's been needing this for some time and didn't realize they had all this power at their disposal.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I love the new 50 user license. I think it really does allow more people to get into LoadRunner and learn it and see what all the benefits are that they may not know because they never downloaded LoadRunner, because normally it is such an expensive tool. So speaking of LoadRunner, as I said earlier, Northway, your former company, is known for its LoadRunner training. So are there any LoadRunner concepts that, in your experience, most people learning LoadRunner struggle with?
I mean, the obvious one that always comes up in the training, especially for those who have only done functional testing in the past, and they're not a performance engineer, they haven't been trained as a performance engineer, and they don't have any development background, it's really difficult for a functional QA person with no development background or no knowledge of the underlying protocols that are being used in an application. Like, for example, just web, just understanding how to read HTML and what's going on that page when it's passing through HTTP and what a proxy is and how LoadRunner does what it does to grab all that traffic and make sense of it and turn that into steps for a business process. That's probably the biggest struggle that I see. And when I'm giving a class and we get to the portion where we're in the Vuegen scripting piece, you'll always see those folks with their eyes get really, really big. Their mouth kind of drops open for that section. And they say, this is not what I signed up for. I thought we were just going to be able to script this, record it, replay it, and it should work. And then we kind of have to calm them down. The other thing would be correlation. That's still an issue. The more complex correlation is, which is, you know, bringing back values and looking at them as it's being passed back to Vuegen, what to do with that information and how to reuse that later in the script. That's usually a pretty complicated thing to try to explain to somebody who's never seen that before, never used that before. But it's not something that is unusual, and other products other than LoadRunner have their ways of doing it as well. But it's just a concept you have to teach. Once they get it and you explain it in an analogy they can understand, then they're fine.
Since more and more companies are moving towards Agile, if someone was starting off a new project and starting to think about performance, what performance-related activities should they focus on in the early stages of development?
I keep hearing about this big emphasis on shifting left and getting performance and QA thought about as early in the life cycle as possible with the agile shops out there where you have QA sitting hand in hand with the developers as they go and they should be testing as they're coding. I mean, that's really great, but I would say that it could even start when the technical specs and the specifications are being written. If you're in a large enterprise and you've built other applications on the same framework, being able to bring in past performance testing reports and telling the team, this is what we experienced when we rolled out this particular kind of app with this particular kind of database, and we want to avoid those type of mistakes to begin with. And being able to do some kind of initial testing on the hardware that's being selected, where you might have a web server, but you might not even have any code on it, you may be able to just test it out, the throughput of the NIC cards, or putting a small JPEG or GIF image out there on a page and not caching and then pulling it as many times as you can to see what that web server will do, say IE versus Apache. I mean, you can start doing that kind of capacity testing early on in the lifecycle. From a code perspective in development, if you can take out chunks or high-risk areas of development, and being able to modularize your scripts for performance the way that you would for functional, you're going to be way ahead of the game. So I would say be thinking about those areas and asking those questions. If you're in an agile shop and somebody's putting down a user story on a sticky, there should be a performance requirement on that. But definitely the earlier that you get to addressing performance requirements, the better.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think the earlier you do performance, the better off you're going to be. And actually, I've done this in the past when a sprint team has a spike story where we'll do some sort of prototyping where we'll do some testing, performance testing against different backends and different techniques to see which one performs better. So just shaking things out as early as possible before, you know, the whole application is developed, it's so much easier to really go through all those issues before you have a complete system and architecture in place. So I definitely agree with that. So then I guess my next question is there anything you see over and over again in your experience that most people doing performance testing are doing wrong?
I think the biggest thing that I see out there is putting the wrong person in charge of the performance of an application. What I mean by that is it's great to have really good developers in-house, And when you've got an agile shop and you're having to wear multiple hats, and on this sprint you're a developer and the next sprint you're supposed to be QA, unfortunately, I find in my experience that most testers do not necessarily make good quality assurance folks, especially performance engineers, because they tend to think of linearly as their code running on their machine, and if it's fast, it's fast. They're not thinking like a performance engineer with the thought of how many, you know, 1,000 threads being thrown at this particular component or object, and how is this going to affect the database when we try to, you know, and it's the same way with security as well. That's another rabbit trail, but putting the wrong person to do security testing who doesn't understand how to hack into a system and doesn't have the right qualifications. Performance engineering can be a very niche skill set. You have to understand not only the code side of it, but the administration side, the business process. Why are we doing this application? So that's the biggest mistake is, well, you're a good quality assurance functional tester, so you should be a good performance tester. Not necessarily the case. You're a good developer, so you should obviously be good at performance testing. Not necessarily the case. So having somebody with the performance engineer mindset from the beginning that's engineering performance into the product and understands those different areas that need to be looked at, that's the biggest thing. Other thing, I just keep seeing a lot of people jumping out there with a tool and just throwing load at something. They don't have any methodology for the way that they approach performance testing, and they get no training. So companies really need, if you're not going to hire a consultant with this specialty skill set, at least invest in your people and train them so that they understand how to use the product that you've chosen to get this information. Because let's face it, the information you get back from a performance test can be make or break of whether you decide, should we roll out this product? Is it too risky? Or are we going to lose something really valuable here? I mean, if credit cards cannot process after a certain number of virtual users, you can tie a direct amount of money being lost and risk that is not being mitigated to the output of a performance test if problems are found. So I think it's really important to have somebody know what they're doing.
Well, Scott, you know, once again, I completely agree with you that you should have someone that actually is baking in performance into the actual application from the start and understands performance. I've seen, like you said, a QA person heading up performance, and all they're doing is just slamming as many users against the application as possible with no think time and just creating a total unrealistic amount of transactions. And it's clear that they have no understand what's going on. And that is really dangerous, especially when you start reporting out to managers. You know, you can start a lot of fires that way with issues that aren't real issues. It's because you don't know how to use the tool. So, for example, a lot of times I see teams using just a few vUsers, creating more transactions in like a half hour than the application would see in a normal 8-hour time period. So I guess my main question is, how can we create more realistic performance testing scenarios?
I always get this question in a class, and a lot of times it has to do with limitations on licensing. How many virtual users do you have in your license? If I have this 50 virtual user free version of LoadRunner, can I just take each virtual user and run them 10 times as fast? And that's going to mean that one user is equal to 10. So now I've got, you know, 500 virtual users. We're just running them really, really fast. And in my opinion, I don't think that really works. And I think once you get over about 1.5 to 2x of what a realistic user would process as on the system, it really turns more into a stress test more than a load test. And that gets back to that first initial meeting that I mentioned before, where we start asking those right questions: is what is the perfect storm? Who are your users? What are they doing? How often are they doing these things? How much of a business risk is associated if this fails under load? When you begin to design those types of business process matrices and the load levels that you're going to use, transactions per hour, per minute, whatever that is, it needs to be based on really good information. If you've got log files from an application that's been out there for a number of years, that's legacy, or you have some way of comparing it, use as much information as you can to get the right number of transactions per virtual user. And even if you have to get an additional amount of licenses for a temporary period of time to reach that certain peak, go ahead and invest in that, but try to make one virtual user operate like a real virtual user. You can always speed them up later, but you need to be kind of conservative on that side. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it.
Awesome. So, Scott, we have our scenarios. They're realistic. We start running our tests, and then we have all this output. So there are so many things you can monitor during a performance test. Are there any key monitor metrics that you think every performance test should include?
I think the key here to monitoring is over-monitoring can cause a situation where you think your systems are performing poorly, but they're performing poorly because you are monitoring everything or too much, too often. So what I generally do is stick with the basic four types of monitoring areas, which would be CPU, memory, disk, and network. Choose a few of the key performance indicators in each one of those and start with that. And then when you begin to see a particular tier crumbling under load, say the database, which would be about 50 to 60% of the time, then you can do a deep dive into, say, a lot of Oracle $V table metrics or, you know, SQL Server and look at SQL profiling, and you can go deep from that perspective. You could even take out like the .NET J2E diagnostics products and pair that with LoadRunner and see down inside of that haystack to find that needle. Instead of just understanding, well, we know which haystack it is. And maybe that's as far as you can get. But generally with LoadRunner and other load testing tools, you're gonna find the area. And by over-monitoring, you're just going to be looking at too much data anyway. So start with the basics and then dive deep when you suspect a particular tier.
So in my experience, sometimes performance testing can feel like a black hole because no one has really defined any service level agreements of what they're actually testing against. So what do you recommend to teams on what success criteria they should use for their performance testing efforts so they don't get sucked into this performance testing black hole?
You're right. It can be a black hole. And let's face it, the reason why we have those kind of discussions where we kind of don't understand what's going on is because companies aren't doing requirements up front, especially performance requirements, the way that they should be. And at some point, the person in the performance testing role needs to push back on the business and the project manager and the product manager and say, somebody needs to tell us, the performance testing team, what we expect out of a user experience. What's good? What's bad? Where's the line? What are we expecting out of our hardware? Who's going to get a red alert in operations where they're monitoring these apps in production if a certain percentage of CPU is being used up or if certain amount of memory is no longer available. Whatever that is, we need to define those things. So you may have to ask leading questions and find the right people, and it may be some hunting, but you'll be well rewarded with creating a performance test that enables business decisions to be made. And that requires that you set some kind of an SLA. How many virtual users? How many transactions per hour? What should be the user experience being bad or good? Maybe it's 8 seconds externally across the WAN. Maybe it's 3 seconds internally. With today's applications, I mean, we used to call it the 8-second rule back when the web was young, but I think with all of the asynchronous activity that's going on, we expect probably 3 seconds or less, and people are expecting to be on, you know, broadband internet connections at least in the U.S. and in many other countries. So I think we have to roll with the changes of the times and pull out, you know, best practices that we find other companies doing something similar. But the business really has to start by helping us make those decisions. So it's a performance engineer's job to dig in and find that information out to be able to put together a good performance test, because it's all about the results.
For me, one of the easiest parts of performance testing is actually creating the performance scripts. The hard part is analyzing all the data. So do you have any tips on performance data analysis techniques?
Yeah, and this kind of goes back to what I was just saying about analysis, the results of a test being very important. I think that the analysis component of LoadRunner is probably the best out there. And I think that it's an art almost. It's a black art coming up with graphs that make a lot of sense to the business without giving them too much information. A lot of times I've looked at graphs that some people have created, and it just looks like a bunch of colored lines, and your eyes just tend to run together. I think it's critical to break out a lot of your monitoring graphs and choose key metrics, cross the right metrics together that's able to tell the business, here's where the application's having a problem, here's the area, and this is what proves it. And that might be something as simple as overlaying a number of virtual users as it's ramping up with a CPU percentage graph that's being used and a key transaction timing, or say login. Take just those three and make those very clear that as we ramp up to this number of virtual users, the login is becoming unacceptable. It's now at 20 seconds, and that's because the CPU of the database is at 100% and it's begun to queue. That's a very simple way, but to dig that out, being able to grab enough information while you're doing the performance test, monitoring the right things, and then putting that into analysis and then filtering out what you don't need to see so that the truth kind of comes to the surface. I mean, that is really an art, and it takes a lot of experience to do that. So most people that are just starting out, don't kick yourself because you don't have it the first month that you're using LoadRunner. You know, give yourself 6 months to a year to really understand all these components within LoadRunner and to be able to use them all effectively, kind of like tools in a toolbox, if you will.
Scott, is there any functionality in LoadRunner that you think most people are not aware of or are not using effectively?
I think the biggest functionality is what I just said, the analysis. Not a lot of people place an emphasis on that because they're too busy worrying about scripting. The other thing I would also tend to add is if you have an application where you're in a lab and you have an application where you can't control outside of your company how people are connecting across a WAN on a mobile device or what have you. I think that the network virtualization, the Shunra technology that HP purchased is really key, and it can add a lot more complexity to a test just in the sense not hard to implement, but it gives you a lot more data and much richer data understanding the impact of the network as well, which is something typically you couldn't control, but you can at least find out in a pristine lab without sending traffic across your production network. Here's what the app's going to do on a limited, 3G or an LTE or this type of a WAN, this country. You can now mimic those things, and it's beginning to be integrated into LoadRunner and Performance Center and other products too. So I think that's something that people should look into. I don't think people are monitoring a lot of things properly. They're just getting some users are just taking the basic information, the end user experience, and they know that this certain transaction of search is really, really bad, but they don't know why, and they have no way to correlate that information to a monitor, a CPU percentage, for example. The LoadRunner analysis really enables you to do that, but you got to capture the right stuff, and you got to know how to use analysis, whatever analysis tool it is. It doesn't have to be LoadRunner, but whatever tool you're using.
Now, that's a great point about the network virtualization. My company develops applications and they support localization, that it's able to handle other languages. But I don't think I've ever heard anyone saying, how does this perform, say, in another country that doesn't have this high-speed access that we're used to? Will they still get good performance or not? So I think that's a great point about being able to mimic that using LoadRunner's network virtualization technology. You know, we really did cover a lot, and someone that's new to performance, their head might be spinning. So are there any books or resources you would recommend to someone trying to learn performance testing?
You know, I haven't seen a whole lot of books on performance engineering that are all-inclusive. There's probably a few books that you could go on by, but I'm going to give a shameless plug here, but I really believe what I'm saying here. Mark Tomlinson and James Pulley put together a website and a podcast called Perf Bytes. You can find it out there on the internet. And Mark was the product manager for LoadRunner several years ago. And James Pulley's been around since the Stone Age doing performance testing on rocks, I think. And we all got together. Well, they started Perf Bytes, and some other people, including myself, joined up with that community to pitch in and help wherever we could. But they have the best podcast and the best material that I've heard, because they are on the ground doing it themselves. All of us that are involved with it, I mean, we've been there and done that, and we're offering our information out there for free. And I got to say, when I listen to those podcasts, I learn something every time. And they've got a real humorous section out there called News of the Damned, where they highlight various companies who apparently weren't paying very good attention to the performance of their applications and are paying for it in more ways than one. So I highly recommend Perf Bytes to anybody. I think it's the best resource to start with.
Yeah, that is a great resource. I love Perf Bytes. And I think if you're a tester, that's a must listen to podcast every week. So Scott, let's switch gears really quick. So I think a lot of people might be thinking, why would Scott leave his job and start consulting now? Can you tell us a little bit why you decided to do that?
The main thing is it was about me. It wasn't about Northway. I love the guys at Northway, and I loved my job. There were certain aspects about it, obviously, that I didn't like, but most of that had to do with sales. But there was nothing negative about Northway, and I still plan on working with those guys, as I think I said earlier. But I'm not a sales guy. Having to sell something just because it needs to be sold is not me. My approach to sales is, hey, do you want this fixed or not? If you don't, then, you know, what am I doing here? Why are we wasting each other's time? Which is probably not a great pitch for a sales guy. And I'm not the kind of person who wants to do the dance of taking people out to dinner 14 times before they decide to use this product over that product. And that's just me. I'm just being transparent here. But that's why I want to be a customer advocate now. And I'm really excited about getting down into the weeds because I like doing the technical stuff and I like keeping my skills sharp. And I want to do some other things in the realm of performance testing, performance monitoring, and IT that is creative and new and do some cutting edge stuff. Also, I wanted to be able to spend a little more time doing music production as well. I've got a Sidestep Studios, sidestepstudios.com. And I'm on Audio Jungle, and I'm doing some music production and working with various artists and making my own music as well. I've been wanting to do that for many, many years, and that's one of the reasons why I moved to Nashville to begin with. So being able to go out on my own as a consultant and take engagements and then be able to stop in between engagements and take a few weeks and make some music and have fun and hang out with my music buddies in Nashville, that was kind of what it was all about for me. So it's time to just enjoy the journey at this point.
Awesome. So, Scott, before we go, is there one piece of actionable advice you can give someone trying to improve their performance testing efforts? And let us know the best way to find or contact you.
I think if you're just starting out with performance testing right now, if that's the direction that you're heading, get trained. Bring in a consultant who is not just a technical person, but is a teacher. Somebody who's most likely like a certified instructor, if it's an HP product, somebody who has a heart to teach and mentor somebody. Bring that person in rather than just a consultant to get the job done and let them walk you through the things that they've learned out of their experience. And don't be afraid to ask a lot of questions, but get trained on how to do it. Jump out there, download the product, whatever that is, and just start doing things. But expect that you're going to do a lot of trial and error. And in some ways, you may not even learn anything through trial and error. There are some people I know who have made a lot of mistakes through trial and error and don't learn a thing, and they keep repeating the same mistakes. But there's a community out there of performance engineers that would love to help and mentor and teach and train. So I would contact those people and be in those communities and those circles, and you'll get a lot out of it. So hope that helped.
Absolutely. Great advice. So, Scott, what's the best way to contact you?
Scott Moore Consulting LLC, the website. I actually did something kind of interesting. I bought a new top-level domain called .consulting, which replaces the .com or the .net. So it's very simple. Scott Moore, my name, one word, .consulting. Just put that in your browser, and it's a very simple one-page site with my contact information. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm not very hard to find. I would love to help people if I could. Sidestepstudios.com is just a blog site on the audio side, and you can find Sidestep Studios on Audio Jungle as well. So if anybody out there just needs some background music, I would love to help them with that as well. So that's how you get a hold of me, and I'm looking forward to hearing this broadcast. And if anybody wants to send me a note or whatever, questions, feel free. I'm available.
Very cool. Thank you, Scott, for your performance testing awesomeness. For links to everything of value that we talked about, head on over to testtalks.com/39 and check out the show notes. Also, while you're there, make sure to click on the More Info link under the exclusive sponsor section to learn more about our awesome sponsor, Sauce Labs. Also, I would love it if you have a second to leave a review in iTunes. Those go a long way in terms of exposure and helping new people come along and see that this show is worthwhile. And honestly, it helps me stay motivated and learn what is working and, just as important, maybe something that is not working to help make Test Talks even better. And as a special bonus, I got my hands on some free 1 month Pluralsight unlimited access passes. So if you leave a comment in this episode, I will give you a free 1 month unlimited access pass. So check it out. That's it for this episode of Test Talks. I'm Joe, and my mission is to help you succeed with automation awesomeness. As always, test everything and keep the good. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Test Talks podcast. Head on over to www.testtalks.com for full show notes, amazing blog articles, and other automation awesomeness.